what a time it'll be that we can consider the wonder and be there and actually be there. But we can live in that reality now in some ways if we will just allow ourselves to have the wisdom of God living in our lives. So, join with me in our spiritual affirmation today. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding,
to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment,
to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion.
A wise man will hear and increase his learning, and a man of understanding will obtain wise counsel.
To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom.
When you have bitter and self-settled in your mind and your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth.
This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Oh Lord, let us be people that make peace. Today, would you show yourself in our presence. Today, would you reveal to us a sense of your being right here with us so that we might live in such a way that glorifies your name. You're welcome in this place, Lord, and we ask that you would help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, and that we would walk like the wise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be. We want you exalted in our world. We want you exalted on this planet. We want you exalted throughout the universe. You are a good and wonderful God, and we worship you, and we praise you, and we raise your name high above every name that is named in heaven and earth. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and we are in awe of your majesty, of your greatness, of your power, of your ability, of your reality. We are in awe of you today, Lord, and we worship you. We worship you. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I want to just talk through some scripture here today. The 28th chapter of 28th chapter of Job, and we will start at the 12th verse. And it's a fascinating question that is being, at least came to my mind as I looked at these verses. And the question for me is, how can we be wise? I don't even know what wisdom is at some points. And how can we be wise? How can we know him? What is wisdom? And it seems so elusive. I mean, we don't seem to have wise surrounding us today. It's really kind of scary out there. People do some of the dumbest stuff. You know, people say don't cut off your nose to spite your faces. There's a lot of noseless people going on, you know, because they will hurt themselves to do whatever. Just think of something like drug use, you know. We talk about that, and all of us from little kids have heard what a bad thing it is. But so many people indulge to the point where it took their life. And now we've got to have some kind of theology of understanding of how to treat people that can't deal with their own impulses. I mean, and there's all kinds of impulses. I could pick on your impulse today, but you might pick on mine. Oh, you don't get that, do you? I don't have any impulses. What are you talking about? I'm a nice person. Right. All right, anyway, so as we are amazed at how sometimes we are in a fog, we are in a cloud, we just don't realize what we don't realize. We just don't get how precarious a position we put ourselves in sometimes. We don't get that we don't, as often as we should, act as wise people. Well, let's look at the scripture and let the scripture do all of this. Verse 12, but where shall wisdom be found? What a question. What a way to start off. Where shall I find wisdom? Well, maybe I'll tell you what. I'll go to government. Government has wisdom. Okay. All right. I think the people that would have wisdom would be those sensitive artistic types. So let's go to Hollywood. Yeah, you think we could find some wisdom there? No. Oh my. Oh my, we can't depend on the government. We can't depend on Hollywood. I know what those men and women who have chiseled their bodies into fine operating machines. Let's go to sports. We can find wisdom in sports, can't we? Where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? You see, these questions have been asked and needed to be asked since the very beginning of time. This is not new. We think that today is the day that it's happened. Is this the first time that this has ever gone on? No, it's always been where we're asking, how can we find wisdom? Where's some understanding? Man doesn't get it. Man knoweth not the price thereof. We don't know what it takes to have wisdom, it seems. The society doesn't necessarily get what it takes to have wisdom. It's amazing some of the dumb people that have graduated from Harvard. It's amazing some of the people that, you know, went to a trade school and can fix a $100,000 machine, but can't. Fill in the blank. Man knows not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. Almost nowhere do we see wisdom operating in the way that you would think it should, the way that you would think it could. We've got cell phones that are more powerful than the computers that sent man to the moon. We've got thingamabobs and thingamajigs that make our hearts work. We have stuff, but we can't find wisdom. The depth saith, it's not in me. You can go to the bottom of the ocean and you can't find wisdom. The sea saith, it's not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold. You can't really buy it, because the person that you're trying to buy it from is just trying to sucker you, making you believe that they're the wise one. So give me your stuff and I'll show you how wise I am. Have we ever thought about how silly that would be? You know, someone walks up to you, listen, I will make you really smart. Just give me all your money. Can be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with gold of Ophir, that was the best, with precious onyx or with sapphire. No. That doesn't work. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it. All those silly little things that we think are important, all of those things that we have valued and we spend our life chasing, all of those things, when we get a little piece of gold, we protect it. We put it in a safe inside of a safe. All of those things that we want and hold on to, sometimes it's even things that seem to have value, like people. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and exchange of it shall not be for jewels or for fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The price of wisdom is above all that you've worked for. The price of wisdom is above all of those things that you have thought were important. And that's frustrating, because some of us really desire to be wise. I remember when I was a much younger Christian, I would pray the prayer in Ephesians, first chapter of Ephesians. God would give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Well, let's go there for a minute. I hadn't planned to do this, but let's go to the first chapter of Ephesians. First chapter of Ephesians. I want you to, something that I think is really worth us praying even today. It's something that makes sense, because we have to have the wherewithal to admit that we need wisdom. Have you ever been doing something you weren't as smart as you thought you were? Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you, all you have to do is have a grandbaby and you figure that out very quickly. They ask questions and you go, well, you know, and then try to distract them, because you have no idea. Verse 15. And you need to know that this is a prayer that I pray for us occasionally. I probably should pray for us more. This is a prayer that Paul was praying for the Ephesians. He wanted them to be able to operate properly. Ephesians is a very important church in the Bible. And he says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, you love God, you love the saints. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is how we ought to operate for each other. When we think of each other, we ought to give thanks. We ought to give thanks for those that are maybe a little bit more difficult to get along with or don't do it exactly the way that we want them to do. But we should remember they are a part of our body. And we ought to give thanks for what God has given us. We ought to give thanks for those who have blessed us and loved us. And there are people, if you look around, that have blessed each other, loved each other, cared for each other, been with each other, done things for each other. We are blessed in the midst of all of the circumstances of our life. Our circumstances have been challenging. Let's face it. Life is challenging. Stuff happens. I don't know if you've noticed that stuff happens. Even the very best of people have to go through stuff. And sometimes that stuff is, oh my goodness, Lord, stuff happens. So, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We need to be wise people. We need to be able to operate in a way that makes sense in the spiritual realm. We need to operate in a way that makes sense. And the only way that we can do that is if God himself reveals himself to us. Do you know you could not have been saved if the Spirit of God had not revealed himself? If he had not shown us that Jesus Christ died for our sin, was raised the third day, and ascended into heaven. If God the Father had not revealed himself, you couldn't even be saved. But don't fool yourself. You still need him. You need him every day, every hour. We need him. We can't live this life without him. If we want to see others saved, he has to be involved. If we want, he's what we need. We need the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You know, having that aha moment. Have you had that aha moment? Do you know that God wants to give you aha moments? He wants you to go, oh yeah, I get that now. I see why they're hurting and what's dragging them down. I see how I've been lifted up and I can have joy. I see that peace shouldn't be able to be disturbed by circumstance. I see that I have faith that will move mountains. I see. And I'm so glad. We need your understanding to be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling. His calling is a no-so hope. If Jesus is calling, can't nothing stop you. Nothing can get in your way. If he's calling, what a good thing that is. It's an amazing hope. It's not the kind of wishy-washy hope that the world speaks of. Oh, I hope it comes today. It's when I say I hope it comes today, that means I know that it's being delivered. I know that I'm being delivered. I've got a no-so hope. I know that even though I am not all that I want to be, the one who wants me to be is working on me. He who has begun a good work in you shall complete it. You know, in the middle of something, I used to watch my father carve. When he would start, he just would start with a block. And so Jesus, when he started with me, he just started with a blockhead. And you know, and so he had to first of all show me that I was valuable enough to him because he placed his value on me to choose me. But wouldn't it have been terrible if he had stopped there every day? By a thousand little cuts, he's changing me. Every day, he's shaping me. Some days, he's just spinning me around, it seems, giving me different perspectives, and I'm so confused, and I don't know what's going on, and I forget that I'm a work in process. But we need not forget that we are works in process. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. He is moving and cutting at just the right place and taking away what needs to be taken away, pruning so that we might blossom more and more and more. And even the stuff that we thought were blossoms before may have to be cut off so that we can truly have this prodigious flowering that honors him and shows that he is good. We want our eyes to be open that we might know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He's got stuff for us. Oh, he has all that we need, all that we want, all that makes sense. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? I did that in the mirror the other day and nothing happened. But his power is as great as it ever was. And he shows that by working through such a weak vessel as me to do his will. He's working through us. He's working around us. And thank God he's working in us. He is at work. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? And you wonder, well, what kind of power has he got? So we have to make sure that we have a reference point of what kind of power he is. Well, it's the same power that he wrought in Jesus Christ. That he wrought in Jesus Christ. That he did in Jesus. When he raised him from the dead. Now that's some kind of power. Amen. That's some kind of ability which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things, everything that you could think of under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things, which is the church. Amen. And the church is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Go back to Job. Verse 18. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? Where does this wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? What a question. What a question. Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, it's obvious that we don't know where it's at, and kept close from the fowls of the air, the fowls of heaven. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. Well, we heard about it. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. The Father knows. He knows. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds. How much does that air weigh? He makes the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning and of the thunder, he set it all up. Then did he see it, and he declared it. He wrote it right here in his book. He declared it. Then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it. Yea, he searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. That is wisdom. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. To depart from what's not right. To depart from the things that are not in line with God's purposes for your life. To separate yourself from the stuff that is holding you down, that's stealing from you. To be apart from anything that is not in line with God's will for your life. Well, we know he has a sovereign will, and in a sense, everything you do, he knew and all of that. But he's calling you to do some things that maybe you're not doing because of the state you find yourself in. He's calling you to share the truth of the gospel with your friends and relatives and strangers. He's calling you to worship him in spirit and in truth. He's calling you to love your neighbor as yourself. He's calling you to grow up into him in all things. He's calling you. He's calling you. God is constantly calling you, inviting you into his presence, inviting you into a place where you can be in worship of him, because he wants to be with you. In fact, he promises to never leave you nor forsake you, but you are not always aware of that, especially when you are living outside of what he would have you to do. Oh, I don't hear from God. Well, put that stuff down. Don't allow yourself to be sucked into the world. The power that's working in you is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Isn't that enough? Or are you so unique that that's not enough for you? You need Christ and something. No. It's Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Father, empower us to be the men and women you've called us to be. Would you pray with me today? Dear Father, I surrender myself to you today. See, I want you this to be your prayer, folks. Dear Father, I surrender myself to you today. I believe that you are, that you really do exist. And I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, because you have called. So now, Father, have your way. Strengthen me this day so that I might have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. And when you reveal yourself to me, may I fall down before you and say glory to God in the highest. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray.